powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Did we just watch maybe the best weekend of football ever? I don't want to be hyperbolic, right? There's been so many great games we've seen, especially locally, right? I mean, there was two phenomenal NFC championships right here in Seattle, but we might have seen the best weekend of divisional round play I can remember, Jake. The best I can remember.
I don't even think it's a close second. I mean, if there's anybody out there, if there's a historian of the game of football that would like to argue with us about this, then I would be all ears.
But I'll fight you now.
But I'm sorry. This was, just without question, this was the greatest set of NFL playoff games in my entire 30 years on this earth. Seriously. Unbelievable football. I mean, to put things in perspective in terms of how good these games were, and this isn't a true indication of how good games are, but how close they were. The four games in this weekend, according to NFL research, of divisional round were decided by a combined total of 15 points for an average margin of victory of 3.8 points per game. That's the lowest average margin of victory in NFL playoff history in a round with at least four games. I mean, that's insane. That tells you how close these games truly were after a weekend that we watched last that was, you know, just filled with blowouts, right? You had more even matchups. You had, you know, incredible highs. You had incredible lows. You had guys making amazing plays last night in particular between Buffalo and Kansas City, just the back and forth and what an amazing game that was. You also had heartbreaking plays. You also had, you know, terrible boneheaded plays that led to comebacks. Well, you look at the Tampa Bay game and the Rams. You look at the 49ers and the Packers. You look at Ryan Tannehill. I mean, just – it was filled with all of the emotion, Stacey.
Well, and if you just look at, like, the basic overview, both number one seeds lose. You also had two playoff records set. I mean, in the history of the NFL, for some reason, you had Gabe Davis, four receiving touchdowns, never been done by a receiver in a postseason game. All the great receivers that have played, never four receiving touchdowns in a postseason game. The Titans set a record with 9 sacks. I believe that's postseason and regular season, certainly postseason. Oh, and both of those teams lost. Like, think about that. If someone were to tell you on Friday, hey, this is going to be a great weekend of games, check this out. The Titans are going to sack Joe Burrow 9 times. And this Bills receiver is going to have 200-something yards and 4 touchdowns. You'd be like, whoa, that's crazy. We're going to see the Bills and the Titans face off. And they'd be like, no, man. No, it's going to be the Bengals and the Chiefs. You'd be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And if that same person was like, hey, so here's what's going to happen. Listen, Josh Allen, he's going to find Gabe Davis for his 4th touchdown of the game with 13 seconds left. Too much time for Mahomes. Like, imagine having that conversation. You'd be like, what games am I about to watch?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know who this man is at the water cooler. He sounds like a regular smoker. Like, he sounds, hey, man, it's me.
Yeah, I don't know who's talking like that, but you know what? After this weekend, I can definitely understand it because I don't know about you guys, but I just kept finding myself in a position where I couldn't take my eyes off the TV. You know, for example, like the Tennessee Bengals game. It wasn't a game that I was particularly super interested in. I got to be honest. Like, I was going to sit down. I was going to watch the game from start to finish. There's no doubt about it. And then as you got going and as you got towards the third and fourth quarter, there's no doubt that you start to have a rooting interest. And then there's no doubt that you get hyped up into the emotion of the game and you're looking at the back and forth and you're waiting for the response of Joe Burrow. And then you see the Tennessee Titans and them being able to overcome a really bad start and them getting themselves back into the game. Then overall, once you start getting into that aspect of it, you see Ryan Tannehill, who just absolutely has the worst game of his life in the worst spot. I mean, 3 awful, awful interceptions and no worse than here in cut number 2, where you have Ryan Tannehill throwing his 3rd pick with 20 seconds left with a chance to really tie this thing up.
Clock still moving, 28 seconds. Here's the snap. Tannehill back to pass. Looks, fires down the middle, tipped high in the air. Oh, it's intercepted. It's picked off by the Bengals. The pass was batted high, and Logan Wilson picked it off. Third interception of the game for the Bengals, and they will take over with 20 seconds remaining.
Sorry, I apologize. Not to tie, but to go and take the game to win. This was that was to win, Stacey. They were driving down. They were in great position to be able to kick that field goal, and then they give it right back to the Cincinnati Bengals, who go down and put the dagger in the heart of every Tennessee Titan fan.
I feel bad for Tennessee Titans fans today. So, by the way, Mike Lefko, a producer for Wyman and Bob, huge Titans fan. And then, as you know, Justin in the morning show with Mike Salke, huge Bengals fan, they had a bet. They did not take me up, Jake, on the offer to have the Jelly Bellies be collateral damage, where Lefko would have to give Dave Wyman's Jelly Bellies to Justin. They didn't take me up on that, but Lefko does now have to wear a jersey. So I'm sure that that only adds insult to injury after considering how they lost, considering how the Titans lost with Ryan Tannehill throwing an interception, a pick with like 28 seconds left. That's got to, whew, that one has to.
Well, Justin told us prior to us going on the air, it is a very random jersey. I don't want to give any spoilers to Mike Lefko, who has not appeared in the office today. Someone needs to do a welfare check on Mike.
Someone should call
him. He was very quiet after the Titans lost. But the jersey he's going to have to wear, I didn't even remember this guy.
That's
playing
what I'm
for
saying.
The Bengals.
Think of any Cincinnati Bengal, the most random one. You're wrong.
Exactly.
you're wrong. That's not who it is. But yeah, it was a wild weekend. I mean, really, the Chiefs were the only top seed to even advance, and even then they had to do it in overtime. And we're going to go over the plays of the game, and we're going to go over all these moments, but there are a couple specific moments I want to get back to. We talked about the Titans and Bengals. I want to get to the Rams Bucks for a minute, because I think we've talked the least about that game. What's interesting, Rams and 49ers, both representatives from the NFC West, both going to be playing in the NFC Conference Championship game. Congratulations, Seattle. There's almost like a weird plus to it, though. It's like that's how tough the division is, so you feel a little validated. At the same time, you're going to be entering an offseason where two teams in your division are coming from an NFC Conference Championship. Let's talk about the variance in the conference games. In the same conference game where Jimmy G, who did everything he could to throw an interception that the Packers weren't lucky enough to pick off, is going to be playing at the same level as Patrick Mahomes on the other side, in the other conference. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the variance in talent represented in this upcoming weekend's conference championship games is wild. That being said, after this weekend, I have no idea what's going to happen. But I do know that, you know, if you're looking at the Rams, I'm favoring them to win this one. You really never know. But the Rams' pass rush just completely deadly. Is that ultimately what sank the Bucks, or was it the final play letting, of all people, Cooper Kupp get one-on-one with a safety?
Oh my gosh. And let's go to that cut here, to that reaction, because let's go to cut 10 here, because I could not believe that I was witnessing this from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Unbelievable.
Stafford straight drop back, pressure off the edge, deep ball, middle of the field, Kupp is open, it's pulled in, inside the 20 by Kupp, and down near the 10, clock is moving, 18 seconds, Rams trying to get up there to spike it.
I mean, what are you doing? Todd Bowles, what are you doing? Why are you going cover zero when you're in a situation where they're still not even plus territory yet? Right? I mean, you make them earn it. Make them earn the opportunity to kick that field goal. And they just gave it right to Matthew Stafford, right to Cooper Kupp. Great job by Matthew Stafford and Kupp recognizing cover zero, that situation, and be able to make that happen. I mean, that was easy, easy as it gets. And Tampa Bay just gave that right away and just totally threw away this amazing comeback that they had to get themselves in that position. And Stacey, I don't know about you, but it just felt like this was going to be another signature Tom Brady, you know, monumental comeback, and this is another one for the ages. And I was just so excited to see the Rams just potentially just get their hearts ripped out from them for Tom Brady, thinking that, hey, with a 20-7 or 27-3 lead, that it would all be taken away from him. I mean, unbelievable, right? And just really bad coaching decision in that moment. Really good execution by the Rams to make them pay. And, man, it was so emotional to see the comeback and then to have it just taken away that quickly. Pretty incredible.
For both of you, though, after watching all these games, after watching the critical errors by each and every team, obviously the losing teams made one more critical error than did the winning teams, but no winning team was absolutely perfect. That being said, no team feels like it's touching the Chiefs. It feels like it is the Chiefs' Super Bowl to lose at this point. And I know anything could happen, but like the Bengals, they've got some serious issues. Again, you won after giving up 9 sacks. The 49ers with Jimmy G, I mean, if Nick Bosa and the rest of that defensive line play their tails off, they sacked Aaron Rodgers 5 times, then, like, yeah, you've got a great chance. But, like, man, Patrick Mahomes, that Chiefs offense, far and away the best unit, and the Chiefs defense might just be good enough. Like, they're inconsistent, but might just be good enough. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I honestly do believe that if we're looking at a Chiefs-Rams matchup, I believe that you're going to see, I mean, if Aaron Donald and that pass rush with Von Miller and Leonard Floyd can really affect Patrick Mahomes, I think they've got a good chance in the game. That, to me, is really the matchup that you're looking for and trying to witness is, do you see another, you know, Tampa Bay situation? Now, Kansas City did an amazing job this offseason saying, okay, all right, we saw what happened last year in last year's Super Bowl. We couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. We're never going to let that happen again. And so what they do, they aggressively went out and fixed their offensive line, totally revamped it from start to finish. They see pretty much every single player on that offensive line is new. I mean, I think it's 4 out of the 5 guys. They just went and got it done. I mean, just an incredible job to make that offense, you know, back to what it was, and getting Patrick Mahomes playing at that high level that he is so special and capable of doing, it really does feel like the Chiefs, this is their Super Bowl to take yet again. But honestly, Stacey, I this is a bittersweet game. Watching it last night, looking at these two teams, watching Josh Allen play, and thinking, man, he deserves one more game. He deserves to be able to go to the AFC Championship game. This was the AFC Championship game. There's no question. And I do think that Kansas City is going to roll their way to the Super Bowl. I don't see how the Bengals really have a chance in this one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's well, and again, we're going to be getting to this conversation more so tomorrow, but also we're taking your calls at 1, so we will be getting to it. Someone on the Mac and Jack's text line saying, we're way closer than you guys think. We, the Seahawks, swept the 49ers, beat the Cardinals once, and but here's the thing. It's one thing to look, Curtis, you were reaching over to the mic.
I say prove it. Call in.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? Before I even have my retort, why don't you call in at 1? Why don't you tell
us
that? All right. So again, taking your calls.
Was Debo Samuel playing in either one of those games? I'm trying to remember.
No, but that's not even what I was going to say. The idea is going to be that, like, I actually think if the Seahawks were in randomly the NFC conference game right now, I think they'd have a shot against the 49ers and maybe a shot against the Rams, even though they can't ever seem to beat the Rams. It's like more often than not, I know they have more often than not, the Rams get the better of Seattle. It feels like on the other side, they're miles away from Kansas City. Again, that variance in like the ceiling of the best teams. The Bills and Chiefs felt like watching a different game. You know what I mean? Than watching the 49ers, than watching even like the Cardinals in the wild card, obviously, but the Rams-Cardinals. I mean, the Rams were dominant,
yeah.
But it's like there's certain teams that were in the postseason where I'm like, the Seahawks can beat that team. Could the Seahawks 5 times out of 10 beat the Chiefs or the Bills? I don't know, man.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're anywhere close to that level. Not that speed, not that explosiveness. They overmatch completely. I mean, the way those two teams are built, yeah, no, the Seahawks cannot match up with those two teams in particular. And it is so obvious from, you know, the way that those two quarter, not only the way that those two quarterbacks are playing and the high level of play that they are, you know, operating and functioning at right now, but you just look at the way that their pass rushes are set up, the way that their offensive lines are set up. I mean, they are just a cut above everybody else right now. And if you're the Seahawks and you're looking at it, is there a path to be able to, you know, beat, you know, the 49ers? Is there a path to maybe be able to beat the Rams? I think so. But are you in that next step? Are you in that next echelon of teams that are truly elite that have that ability to do so? And until you fix, you know, the line of scrimmage, until you fix your offense and defensive line, I don't think you can even have a chance and a prayer at even considering yourself, you know, being close to beating a team like the Bills and the Chiefs that we witnessed last night.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, Tom Brady asked about his playing future following the Bucs loss yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
Taking it day by day, non-committal about his playing future following the Bucs elimination. What's the real headline?
He was also non-committal with Bridget Moynihan.
Ooh.
Oh, Tom Brady. You know what I'll say? Twofold.
You had to go there, huh?
I know. Twofold. One, I hope this isn't the last we've seen Tom Brady in the postseason with the Bucs. I mean, Tom Brady can clearly play as long as Tom Brady wants to play. I mean, you can look at his age and you can say, oh, the Bucs didn't advance. I didn't know Tom Brady was covering Cooper Kupp one-on-one. I didn't know that was his job to do. I didn't know it was his job to drop that coverage and make sure you took care of their best receiver in this game. Last time I checked, Tom Brady marched this team down the field to keep the Bucs in it. And I know that he had, like, mistakes in this game. He was going against one of the best pass rushes this year. And not the best, but certainly one of the best of the postseason. And, oh, by the way, one other thing, he led all quarterbacks in pretty much every single category this year. So I don't know if Tom Brady's done, but he certainly doesn't need to be.
He doesn't need to be, and I will be very curious to see how this ends up, you know, sorting itself out. Because just like Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay have a unique situation, Tom Brady and the Bucs, they have things that they have to figure out in terms of how much can they keep their team together, how much can they keep the band together and improve this team moving forward. Because I will be shocked. I'll tell you this. If the Bucs are able to be relatively the same team and improve in certain areas, and Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, they don't get plucked for head coaching jobs, I have a hard time not seeing Tom Brady come back. He's at the top of his game. Statistically, he hasn't had a better season in a lot of categories. I mean, he's playing lights out football this season. So it would just be very weird to see him leave at this point and not leave after, you know, really truly being able to, you know, ride off into the sunset with the Super Bowl or being able to get deeper in the playoffs. But maybe it is going to be time. And I do believe that Tom Brady is at this point very, very seriously thinking about it. But I think it's all going to be determined on what Tampa Bay can do to be able to keep this roster relatively together.
Now, a SportsCenter graphic that was also posted over the weekend, this will be the first conference championship, obviously in either conference, without Rodgers or Brady represented in 12 years. It feels like there has to have been a year in there when one of them wasn't represented, but apparently not.
Headline Rewrites.
Tom Brady's got a timeshare in the conference championship
round.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's trying to sell you something.
Very true.
Hey, welcome.
Headline number two, Aaron Rodgers, the other star quarterback to lose in the divisional round, says he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild if he chooses to return to Green Bay in 2022. What's the real headline?
Add it to the long list of other things Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be a part of. At the top of that one, his own family. It's always the joke. It's the same joke, and it always hits.
The
it
joke
always
that
hits.
Keeps on giving.
It always keeps giving. Now, I actually, I don't know about you, Jake. I think it's more likely that Brady is back with the Bucs next year than it is Aaron Rodgers is back with the Packers. However, if you're a Denver fan, you certainly like hearing this one. But Aaron Rodgers last year felt like a lot of talk and no action. Like, I don't know how serious he was about it so much as he was just using the leverage he could to try to make Green Bay make moves. And don't forget that a couple weeks ago, he was on an interview. I don't think it was the Pat McAfee show, but in an interview talking about the grass isn't always greener. The grass is greener where you water it. Well, Aaron, are you going to find a team that is better suited to win elsewhere? I don't know.
I mean, I think there are a couple teams that are in pretty good spots, though. I mean, let's not act like, the Denver isn't a good roster. Let's not act like Pittsburgh doesn't have a great roster.
Yeah, the difference is Denver has to get by Kansas City and Buffalo.
That's true. It's true. But also, you look at Denver and the way that they have lost those games in that division. I mean, it's not because they've been playing great offensive football. They have struggled to play good offensive football. And so I think that that would be a tremendous challenge. But Denver has a better defense than all those other teams in the league. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm looking at that situation, then I do think it's a pretty enticing one. However, as I've said all along, I think Green Bay has the ability to keep winning. Now, they've got issues. They've got problems. They are something like $40 million over the cap heading into next year. So what type of team are they going to have on their hands? And Aaron Rodgers, I think rightfully so, at this point of his career, shouldn't be a part of a rebuild in Green Bay. So I don't believe the Green Bay is going to want to rebuild either. But they are going to have to put together a plan and formulate a plan and be able to sell Aaron Rodgers on that plan, or else you're going to see him want out of Green Bay. So it's really on Brian Gutekunst and that front office to really try and figure things out, in my opinion. But I don't think it's written in stone that Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone. I think that this next month is going to be critical to figure out exactly how they're going to be able to retain their guys. And you might see them put a lot of restructuring of contracts together, because somebody like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, both of those guys, Stacey, would be huge cap savings, but it would also be savings that would weaken your roster, weaken the pass rush that you've had that's made that defense so good. So there's some tough decisions for Green Bay looming in 2022, and obviously that's going to have a great impact on how Aaron Rodgers feels about his future there.
Is this the last we've seen of Brady in Tampa and Rodgers in Green Bay? We're going to talk about that at 10:45, by the way.
Headline rewrites.
Last night, naturally, the Kraken swept their season series against the Florida Panthers, the team with the most points in the NHL, winning 5-3. What's the real headline?
My real headline is just, hey, on second thought, maybe the Kraken should always play the Panthers. Can we go back? Can we rewrite this schedule? Can we talk with the NHL and be like, hey, none of the Kraken wins really make sense? I mean, some of them do, but like, you know what? Let's revisit this and let's just have them play some of the best teams.
Well, they blew out Florida 4-1 in Miami, and then
I would say
last night, pretty easy third period.
Yeah, now it's not like they consistently have beaten the best teams. They clearly have not. I mean, they were demolished at other times. I mean, Colorado, one of those teams, but that's still really impressive.
It is very,
if only
very
you could
impressive.
Do it against some of the league's worst teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just it doesn't make any sense whatsoever when it comes down to who the Kraken are, how they've been playing this season. But sure, you know, just go ahead and beat the best team in the league consistently. they make no sense to me. I still have a hard time figuring out who the Kraken are, what they want to be, and certainly I can't figure out who they're going to beat, who they should beat, or who they should lose to. It doesn't make any sense to me. But hey, this has been a wild ride with the inaugural season of the Kraken here in Seattle. But I'm looking forward to maybe them doing these types of things when it actually matters, when it's actually like really, really
that
cool.
Would
that
would be ideal.
It.
I mean, I think it's clear who they want to be, but they just haven't been able to be that in large part because they haven't gotten the goaltending. But we'll see, obviously, whether they can find that again in 2022. Otherwise, they're in big trouble. Don't forget, you can listen to us on the go or catch up with the show. If you miss it, subscribe to the Jake and Stacey podcast. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please don't forget to rate and review if you do subscribe. All right, we've talked a ton about offense, and we're going to get to two very big offensive players, maybe two of the most important in the game at 10:45, but let's talk defense, because as beautiful as that game was last night, the Chiefs' defense is going to have some big questions. Can think of no better person to ask than Dave Wyman. He joins us next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Joining us right now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it's Dave Wyman. Wyman, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Your colleague, producer Mike Lefko, in our thoughts today after that loss by the Titans, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Man, you get picked off three times, whew, though.
That'll do it.
Yeah. You know, really quick, the one thing I would say is a couple times they tried to outsmart themselves, like, you got the king. You got the king in the backfield, yeah. You know. And I remember the very first play. You know, they threw a pass, and I think they went three and out. But for Tannehill to come back and throw the one touchdown, I think it was to AJ Brown. You know, on the sidelines deep after three interceptions, I thought that was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a tough loss for the Fighting Lefkos down in Tennessee.
Interesting week for, this sounds so stupid what I'm going to say, interesting week for defense.
By all means,
in the
say
NFL,
it, great.
Because it is, though, it is. I mean, it feels like the defensive lines and some critical errors by Tampa Bay are what won you those games in the NFC. I mean, certainly for San Francisco. And then they got to Aaron Rodgers five times. The Rams, obviously, ultimately, and Cooper Kupp, really, get the better of the Bucs. And then, meanwhile, in the AFC, I was wondering what Mahomes would look like against the number one defense in the league. It turns out the last 2 minutes are just a complete offensive explosion where both secondaries fell apart. What'd you see?
Well, it's just unbelievable watching Mahomes play. I mean, it's just a totally different speed, and it just kind of made me, it kind of bothered me a little bit just because, you know, I'm just thinking about how our defense played this year and having to defend that guy. I mean, the thing about Mahomes is, and it's not so much about our defense not being good, it's more about him and how he just thinks faster than everybody on the field. Just, you know, the decisions he makes, how fast he is, and then just the way he moves around. It's just incredible to watch. But I just, watching the speed of that game, and particularly that one, really stood out. The Bills and the Chiefs, it kind of made me feel like we got a ways to go here. But yeah, it was just so much fun watch. I couldn't decide who I wanted to win that game. I was so disappointed when, you know, Kansas City at the end is able to pull it out. I just felt really bad for Josh Allen. But, you know, I thought if it had been the other way, I would have felt just as bad for Patrick Mahomes because he played such a fantastic game. And then putting up 552 yards on the number one defense. I mean, they were giving up like 270.
How about 188 yards from Mahomes in the final 2 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, how about the runs? I mean, him and Josh Allen both, you know, just incredible. So, yeah, those two teams, and that's kind of how I expected the AFC to go, you know, that it's just going to be wild and wide open, that, you know, you really don't know who's going to come out of it. But I feel like Kansas City made a pretty strong case, and they're going to host Cincinnati, so we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, it was the quarterback play really stood out. The other thing is I thought Andy Reid did a really good job, the repunt, where, you know, mm-hmm. declined the penalty. Because what happens is you get another chance to get – and Tyreek Hill, I should mention, because he's just freakish. You know, I mean, just the way he moves, the way he, you know, makes decisions and things like that. But what you do is you get your – best, probably most athletic guy in the league, another chance to get in the open field with a punt. You know, I mean, you scheme and you try to find all kinds of formations and different things to try to get Tyreek Hill in the wide open, you know, out with the ball where he is going to make somebody look foolish. And, you know, on the punt, you know, that's a great opportunity for him. And then he ends up making him pay for it. I think he ran down to the 20 or 15 instead of their own 40.
So, you know, you're looking at the explosive nature of the AFC. Well, how about the NFC, where you have an unbelievable game and finish with the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I mean, Dave, were you just as in shock as I was that Todd Bowles elected to go cover zero in that situation at the end of the game?
Yeah, I was texting. I don't tweet, but I texted. I go, he's going to have one more difficult question to answer in his head coaching interviews Making that decision, they rushed six and they dropped David. Probably, you know, he was probably at the line of scrimmage by the time, you know, and I don't know if he was spying. And by the way, Buffalo had like a defensive end, Rousseau, I think, and you could tell he was spying Mahomes. That's a ridiculous waste of resources. Absolutely ridiculous. Just rush the passer. There's no way you're going to spy him. You know, and I know this. I was the spy, so at one point I could actually run. And, you know, we played the Eagles, and I was supposed to spy Randall Cunningham. Well, I never spied him, okay? I never even, you know, got close to him, and I was the spy guy. And so, you know, you saw that kind of, you know, that was just a weird coaching decision, I thought. But yeah, as far as Todd Bowles goes, my gosh, I mean, you were one-on-one with four receivers deep, you know, and how about double Cooper Kupp? You know, get somebody over the top to help, but they went with the blitz, and, you know, I think Moyer responded, his answer will be, Bruce Arians made me do it. But, yeah, that was, I couldn't figure out what they were doing. And then, you know, just very, you think about the leaders on that team in Tampa, Brady, Sue to some degree, and Levante David, they all three got 15-yard penalties. I totally disagree with the one with Brady. And then, you know, taking your helmet off out on the field, I think, gosh, I mean, that guy got drafted the same year, Levante David, as Bobby Wagner. And he made that kind of mistake. And Ndamukong Suh yelling at Stafford. I just think you get fired up, you know, on the field. So the taunting stuff is really ridiculous. And some of the unsportsmanlike penalties. But, yeah, that cost him. But, of course, they came back. And then they just entirely blew that opportunity.
I was going to talk about the best and worst coaching mistakes, and then you kind of answered it almost. I mean, you talked about what you loved from Andy Reid and some of his decisions about how to use Hill or which penalties to accept. And I was going to ask, okay, well, what coach or coordinator might want to do over? And you mentioned, why blitz there if you're Tampa Bay? Is that maybe the most, I don't want to say egregious, but costliest? Is there another one where you look at it and think, that guy might want to do that over?
Yeah, you know, as far as that goes, you know, I guess it's kind of like a fourth and one, and you go for it.
Yeah.
If you make it, nobody even says anything, you know. So if they get home on Stafford with that six pass rush blitz there, then, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's the way they have to be. They've been that way all year. They take chances, you know. But then Sean McVay is a really good coach. And, you know, Cooper Kupp, he doesn't look like he's that fast. And he doesn't look like there's nothing dynamic about him other than he gets open. And, it was pretty amazing. And I know everybody, look, rules are rules, and you're not out there constantly necessarily going, okay, where's Cooper Kupp? Because, you know, you got other receivers, but it sure looked bad that that he shook loose deep when, you know, that guy's the Triple Crown winner as far as receivers go.
Well, and didn't he, am I misremembering, or didn't he get a pass right before that? He had a 20-yard right before that.
Well, he shook the guy to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, he just, as they would say in the NBA, broke his ankles with his little subtle move. You know, his moves remind me a lot of Tyler Lockett. They're kind of subtle, you know, but you can see he gets hips turned. And then once he sees the DB get his hips turned, then, you know, he makes his move. He's just really good. It's a, you know, when we talked to Tyler about that, he can't even explain it. Like, we're like, well, what are you thinking? What are you doing? He goes, I don't know. I just run the route.
That's how I feel about my own athleticism, Dave. It's funny you say that. He is Dave Wyman. You can hear him later today starting at 2 p.m. with Wyman and Bob. Thanks, Wyman.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Dave. A question I asked you guys earlier, is this the last we've seen of two legends in the NFL? That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
Futures are two of the best quarterbacks, one certainly the league has ever seen. Up in the air right now after this season. One, Aaron Rodgers, number one seed Packers, are outed in the playoffs by the 49ers. 49ers will advance to the NFC Conference Championship. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers lose to the Rams. The Rams going to move on and play the 49ers. Buccaneers are going home. So with Brady, it's more age than anything else. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He had the best quarterback stats this year, threw for more yards than anyone else. I mean, he's leading. If Rodgers doesn't win MVP, it should be Brady. That being said, this is going to be a question every single year for Brady from now on, just as he gets into his mid-40s. And for Rodgers, it's less about age and more about the unhappiness he clearly has being in Green Bay. So let's start with Brady, and then we'll move over to the Packers. But Brady was asked about his future playing with the Buccaneers after the loss. Here's what he said.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
Now, that was immediately following this loss. He was in a post-game press conference. So very clear that right now he's like, you guys, truthfully, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about this game. That's what he said. I'm thinking about this game. I'm not thinking ahead. And I am right now in this moment, Jake, expecting him to be back mm-hmm. in Tampa. I think it's a fair question to ask that reporters will continue to ask, because it's always going to be, Brady, how does your body feel? What do you think? But I think he's coming back.
Yeah, I do too. I would be really shocked unless you had a situation where, Stacey, there was a mass exodus of some sort, right? Because really what they did was trying to get everybody back for this year. Keep the team together. You're not going to have Chris Godwin, you know, after this year, most likely, you know, since he tore his ACL towards the end of the year. And you're going to be in a situation where your team's going to look a little bit different, right? Ryan Jensen as a center is going to be gone, potentially in free agency. Unless you're able to convince all of your free agents to be able to come back on lesser deals, I don't know how you're going to be able to keep that same group together. So it will be surprising. What if Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, what if those two coordinators got snatched up and you know, now you're trying to really change everything? So I do believe that there is an element of kind of waiting to see what happens and waiting to see how the process goes over the next month. But I'm with you, Stacey. I'd be shocked if Brady's not back in Tampa. If Tampa's not able to put together a legitimate contender, a legitimate winner again, they still have most of the pieces that they need in order to be successful, in order to, you know, really truly go after contending again. So I would be very surprised about Brady not being in Tampa.
All right, then let's go ahead and move to the next one, which is going to be much more a topic of debate this offseason, and that is Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay. Here's what he had to say.
Devontae is the best receiver in the league, and he's a free agent, although they could obviously tag him. Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan, you know, so many guys' contracts are up or on the brink or salary cap stuff. So a lot of decisions to be made. I don't want to be a part of a rebuild if I'm going to keep playing. So a lot of decisions, you know, in the next couple months.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers saying, look, there's a lot of stars, a lot of starters that are going to be free agents that you can franchise tag if you want to, but you obviously only get one of those to use. So even if you use it on Adams, there's all these other guys, like on my offensive line or on defense, that are going to be gone. And not only that, but maybe you won't even be able to afford to retain them because you don't have a lot of money. So do I want to be here or not? Aaron Rodgers made it clear last year. He didn't mention the salary cap or being part of a rebuild so much as he did just being, you know, really bothered with this team, the decisions of the front office, you know, being made in counter to what he felt like he could accomplish, that being clearly moving on, trying to find their quarterback of the future. What do you think about Rodgers staying in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's very up in the air, and I think Aaron Rodgers is speaking very candidly about that. There's also been rumors that he might retire, that he might want to retire. That could be on the table for him as well, but I have a hard time seeing Aaron Rodgers truly walk away from the game when he's playing great football, and he shouldn't walk away from the game, in my opinion. He's still got years left to play in this league if he wants to. So I believe that when you're looking at this situation with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, things have gotten better. But what did I say to you before the weekend? Aaron Rodgers is going to go wherever the wind blows, right? One week he's happy and he's saying great things. The other week he's mad and upset and frustrated. So I believe that Aaron is somebody that is really hard to really truly pin down and know exactly what he wants to do and exactly what he wants to get out of the situation. But the truth is that he's right. if you walk away with all of these other free agents and you're not willing to sign them back, or you're going to end up having to cut some key starters, then guess what? You're going to be in a really bad spot. So I think that, you know, Green Bay isn't interested in a rebuild. I think that they have always been about wanting to win and consistently winning, and feel like they have the opportunity to do so right now. So, Stacey, to be honest, if you're asking me today, I would be very shocked if Green Bay elects to rebuild and Aaron Rodgers is playing somewhere else. I just have a hard time really truly seeing it happen. But if they go down that road, then Aaron Rodgers is going to be in a different uniform. There's no question.
Well, here's what's interesting about it is Aaron Rodgers, obviously he's under contract for 2022, but he's suddenly accounting for, I want to say, like 20-something percent of the salary cap. So, in theory, if Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be 39 in 2022, was 31 or 30 or whatever, Green Bay would say, yeah, you're right, we are running into cap trouble. So to be able to, you know, retain some of these guys, hey, Aaron, you're going to have a cap hit of $46 million in 2022, and then you've got avoidable year in 23. We're going to go ahead and just extend this. We're gonna restructure your contract, add more years. We're going to open up some cap room. Then we can retain these guys. So he's kind of almost got himself into this situation a little bit, where the Packers are going to be looking at it thinking, do you want to be here? I mean, we could make more cap room, but do you want us to? Like, is that even something you'd want to do? Meanwhile, I don't know if they love what they've seen from Jordan Love, but Jordan Love hasn't come out and, like, blown everyone away and won that job. Maybe he can do something there and maybe he can't, but the Packers are in this weird situation where Aaron Rodgers is clearly the best quarterback they have, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, making his case for MVP this year. Your best way to win next year is to extend him or restructure his contract and take up some of that cap space and use it somewhere else. Are you going to actually do it? Again, it's going
to
be
that's the big question. Can they convince everybody to do what Tampa Bay did essentially last year and say, we want to keep this thing together. Let's figure out a way. Let's work with everybody to be able to restructure those contracts to be able to make it happen. There's a will, there's a way. I just don't know if Green Bay is fully invested or fully comfortable, as you're pointing out, with Aaron Rodgers saying that, yeah, we feel comfortable that Aaron's going to be happy and not give us any more issues for the next 3 to 4 years.
All right, going over the plays of the divisional round, and you guys, there's a lot to cover here. I'm really excited to go over these plays again. That's coming up next.